If you had lived in the ancient world, before the age of space exploration, the Voyager spacecraft, and the Hubble space telescope, when you looked up into the night sky, you would picture in your mind's eye a vast dome or a canopy on which the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars were situated like lights embedded in a canvas. Now, that dome revolved in various ways to produce the movement of the heavenly bodies, and all earthly life was contained within the confines of this heavenly structure. We don't think that way anymore. The physical universe can't be contained within some constricting dome. That conception of the heavens was just too shallow. It was flat. It wasn't deep enough. And in the end, it couldn't accommodate our experience. As we now see the universe as one that stretches over billions of light years with a vast multitude of stars far beyond our ability to count. That heavenly dome was shattered as new ways of viewing the heavens emerged, and that ancient conception was seen as a very limiting view of reality. But before we moderns feel too proud of ourselves for escaping the confines of antiquity, I think we need to recognize how we have constructed our own very limiting view of reality. Instead of a physical dome encompassing our human existence, we now have constructed a spiritual one, what I call a sacred canopy. The word secular simply means of this age. And today, the secular world is one that is limited to the physical, the material, what can be measured and understood by scientific methods. It serves to block our view of anything outside of or beyond this world. The real world in this secular perspective is simply the world of politics and business, education and entertainment. By definition, that's all there is. You see, we've created a world without windows. And everything that doesn't fit in our secular, scientific view of things is safely out of sight. I liken our secular world to a domed football stadium. You see, inside that dome, we have complete control. There's nothing outside that roof that we have to worry about. I mean, the bright sun never gets in the players' eyes. All the light is artificial and carefully positioned. We don't have to be concerned about rain or snow, and the players and the fans can stay dry and enjoy a perfect 72-degree environment. It's our little world. And we even make up the rules of the game, meant to maximize our entertainment. And we like it that way. Sure, there are times when we sense there may be a world outside or beyond our little bubble. We may hear the sound of raindrops on the roof or the rolling thunder in the distance. But we quickly redirect our attention to all the interesting things that are happening inside. And all those sorts of minor disturbances easily pass from our minds. We are safe within the confines of our self-contained, self-created, secular world. But are we missing something? The message of Christmas is that we are. Let me take you back to that passage from the Gospel of John with which we began our service. John tells us that this material universe, as vast as it may be, is not all there is. Before any of this came to be, John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. Now the Word, a word is a rational, personal, communicative act. And this Word was with God, and this Word was God, and through Him all things were made, John says. In other words, standing outside of and beyond our physical world is a divine reality that brings it into being. The rational order of this natural world has a supernatural source, a personal, divine author, a God who speaks. And John continues, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He is the true light that gives light to everyone. You see, something of this divine word, this personal God, shines in the heart of every human being. Elsewhere, the Bible says that we are created in the very image of God. There is something within each one of us that points us to this reality outside our secular bubble, something beyond that secular dome. Now, sometimes that awareness comes in the form of an inner emptiness. We go through life with its various ups and downs. We go to work, we raise a family, we watch television, we follow the news, and one thought haunts us. Is this all there is? Harvard professor James Wood, in a New Yorker article of that title, he writes of a friend, a philosopher and a professed atheist, who sometimes wakes up in the middle of the night haunted by deep-seated angst with a series of disturbing questions. How can it be that this world is a result of simply an accidental Big Bang? How could there be no design, no metaphysical purpose? Can it be that every life, beginning with my own, my husband's, my child's, every life is cosmically irrelevant? Is that all there is? Or there are the times when we're haunted by some injustice, some crime against humanity, or maybe even a more personal tragedy. And we wonder if there is some cosmic justice out there, because life under the dome sometimes just doesn't make sense. And if this world is just a bunch of atoms thrown together, why should I expect there to be justice at all? But I do. I can't help it. And then there's death. How can anything in our lives have meaning in the light of the certainty of our own death? Steve Jobs of Apple fame had those thoughts when contemplating his own death. He confessed that he felt that it's strange to think that you accumulate all this experience and it just goes away. So I really want to believe that something survives, that maybe your consciousness endures. How can you believe that something as significant as a human life should have an off switch? So it's merely click and you're gone. Is it possible to enjoy some relationship, some love that death cannot destroy? We ask these questions. We have these doubts. Is there a world outside of the secular dome stadium in which we live and work and play and love and suffer and in the end die? These haunting uncertainties are like rays of sunlight peeking through the cracks of our sacred canopy. This secular world above us, they make us wonder if our modern secular construct can really accommodate our undeniable experience of reality. And the message of Christmas tells us that there is a bigger world out there. In fact, it tells us that that light from beyond, that eternal word of God, has actually made his way into our midst. Again, we look at the Gospel of John, where it says that word that was in the beginning, that word that was with God, and that word that was God, that word, he says in verse 14, that word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The personal God who made the world, who made us in his image, the eternal light who has shined in our hearts all along, he has now come as one of us, to dwell among us. As Lucy of C.S. Lewis's Narnia once said, in our world, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. This is earth-shattering news. You see, it means we don't have to guess what God is like. He's made himself known. John says, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For Jesus himself said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You see, that secular bubble has been burst once and for all. God has entered our world. He has displayed his grace and truth. In his Son, Jesus Christ, we see the goal, the very purpose of human life. A human life living in relationship with God and with others in perfect faith and love. And through his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection, he has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. In his grace, he has acted to redeem a people for himself to live with him forever. This is what we're created for, to know the God who created us. And Jesus Christ makes that possible. That's what Christmas is all about. But I ask, is this something that you want, to know the God who created you? Sitting in a comfortable world of our own making, devising our own rules, being engaged and entertained with the within these impregnable confines of our secular culture without any ultimate responsibility or accountability. Many find that quite appealing. And that was true of the ancient world too. John tells us that this word of God was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, to many, he came as an uninvited and unwanted intruder. Yet, John says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, this is the message of the angels who appeared to those shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you great good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You see, such a message can only evoke awe and wonder. For it points us to a wonderful new world. The world beyond the mundane, the temporal, the worldly, the material. There is a world beyond the secular, the world of the Word who's been with us from the beginning, who was with God and was God. The Word has become flesh. He's now made himself known in all his glory, the glory of his grace and truth. No, this world, this is not all there is. There is a God who created us and who's working out his good plan for his creation. No, evil does not win in the end. There is such a thing as real justice, cosmic justice, for there is a God who will judge. And no, death is not the end. For Jesus Christ has been raised from the grave as the first among all those who will share in his eternal life. You see, that's what Christmas tells us. And it is good news. So I say, don't get trapped in a secular bubble living under some constricting dome. Don't live in a world without windows, cut off from this greater reality of God's love for us displayed in his Son, Jesus Christ, whose entry into this world we celebrate here tonight. Will you receive him? Will you believe in him? Will you trust him with your life? If so, you will be given the right to become a child of God. I invite you to pray with me as I invite our voices of praise to come forward. Lord, fill us with wonder tonight, we pray, as we think of this earth-shattering message. God has come among us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. May we set our eyes on this marvelous mystery and grasp its message of grace and truth. May we receive him tonight by faith, as the one who rescues us from a windowless world of our own making and brings us into his everlasting kingdom of light and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.